You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now, the Mets have decided not to bring back Luis Rojas next season. He was not under contract for 2022. He may return to the franchise in some capacity outside of managing, but there will be a new manager at the helm next season. On today's show, I want to talk about this story from all angles. The first segment, I want to talk about it from Luis Rojas' perspective. Did he get a fair shake as the Mets manager? In the second segment, I want to talk about this from a front office perspective. Can the Mets find a manager that fits in with the front office that is better than Luis Rojas? What has been the problem over the last 5 years with finding continuity in management when it comes to either the manager on the field or the general manager? We'll discuss that. And then in the last segment, I want to talk about two of the early candidates that have come across the radar that I think would be good fits to manage the Mets. Before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know how to analyze a manager. And anyone who does pretend like they know how to evaluate a manager or a pitching coach or hitting coach, you're out of your mind. There is no way that we can honestly look from a third party's perspective without being inside that clubhouse every day and say, yeah, Rojas was bad at his job. That's just not the case. And the fact is, the most important aspect to managing nowadays is connecting with your players. And pretty much across the board, it seems like a lot of the Mets players loved playing for Rojas. Now, the team did not perform, and that was what was going to happen if the team did not perform. He was not under contract. He was essentially on a two-year interim manager phase where he never quite had that full confidence of the organization. He got a really tough shake here. And this is an organization that Rojas worked for throughout the minor leagues, went through every step of the process to get to the show and then to get this title of being the manager, be able to run the show. And I don't fault him at all for jumping at this opportunity. But if you really look at what happened here, the guy just got a really raw deal because he comes in, supposed to be a bench coach in 2020 for Carlos Beltran. Beltran ends up getting fired after it wasn't even two full months because of the sign-stealing scandal, which he took part in as a player when he was with the Astros. He ends up being pinned as one of the main orchestrators of the deal, along with Alex Cora. Cora was let go by the Red Sox, only to be brought back and remains their manager, and just took them back to the playoffs after not making it in his absence. So you look at Carlos Beltran. The Mets probably should have given him a little bit of a longer leash. They should have stood by their manager. They weren't able to. They decided that the bad press was too much, which is also funny because the sign-stealing stuff was going on when the Mets hired Beltran in the first place. So just typical mismanagement by the Wilpons. Rojas gets promoted, but is, if not a pseudo-interim manager, I mean, that wasn't necessarily his title, but it might as well have been. He goes into this year. There's all this upheaval in the front office. They're trying to find a new president. They don't find the president. They land on Jared Porter as the GM. Jared Porter ends up out of the job before the offseason's over. Nothing but dysfunction. And Rojas is just the guy left holding the bag here, still is the manager, goes into the season. And if anything was going to happen negatively, it was very clear that he could be a fall guy. Well, that's exactly what happens here. Sandy Alderson is responsible for the last managerial hire before Beltran and Rojas, Mickey Callaway. That did not work out for numerous reasons. And then after the fact, we learned of some extra reasons that he wasn't even fired for that were certainly cause for Callaway to get fired, with all of the bad stories that came out with him and the way he treated female reporters and others in the industry when it comes to sexual misconduct. Then you go to the Beltran situation, the Rojas situation, nothing but dysfunction. And all Rojas did was win over the players, work with the players, and ultimately a team that fails ends up costing him the job. I'm not saying Rojas is a great manager, but I also say that people thought that Gabe Kapler was a terrible manager, and he just led the Giants to the best record in the National League. Now he's getting credit. Now he'll probably be the manager of the year. Is he that different of a guy than he was 2 years ago in Philly, or is he managing a much better team? And that's my problem with firing managers, and we see it across sports. Sometimes that change can certainly be the difference in becoming a championship team. And I hope for the Mets' sake, that's what happens here. But to blame the manager for everything that happened, and for you Twitter warriors that are saying that Rojas is the whole reason for the Mets' struggles this year, it's just not accurate. And when you talk about what a manager does nowadays, so much of the decision-making comes down to analytics, where these guys are handed a binder. Here's your starting lineup. Here's what you do when there's a lefty on the mound in the sixth inning. You go to J.D. Davis in this spot. If there is nobody on base in that same spot, maybe it's Jonathan Villar to get on. And you have all these things. And a manager nowadays just has to follow the blueprint that was laid out before them. And then after the game, sit in front of the media and own every decision as if it's their own. That is the thankless job of being a manager in 2021. So I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, Rojas' in-game decisions are why he got fired and why are the Mets. No, that's not what happened here. What happened here is the Mets are going in a different direction across the board. They want to hire a new president of baseball operations, and they want that president to have full reign over the organization. And with that, I fully support the Mets because that's what they should do. And as long as they get that one hire right, not the managerial hire, the president hire, correct? Everything will fall into place. But anyone who's sitting here and saying that a new hitting coach or a new pitching coach or a new manager is all this team needs, that it's because of the hitting coaches that the Mets sucked with runners in scoring position this year. Well, honestly, they had two separate group of hitting coaches, and it was the same result pretty much across the board. You had individuals who certainly were better under different hitting coaches. Javi Baez comes to the Mets and changes his approach entirely and becomes a great player. Do you credit Hugh Quattlebaum? Do you credit Baez? Do you credit the analytics? Do you credit Rojas? Who do you credit? I don't know, because I'm not in the clubhouse every day. And I'm going to talk to Mets beat writer Justin Toscano at some point this week, and we'll get a little bit of a closer look into the behind the scenes by talking to Justin about this. But overall, my opinion is nobody can fairly evaluate a manager in baseball nowadays. And I can 100% see Luis Rojas getting another opportunity in 2 years and taking a team to 110 wins like Gabe Kapler almost just did with the Giants, because it comes down to which organization you're with, what roster is in front of you, how the analytics department puts together a team, how they're able to strategize and get through a season. And the manager is along for the ride to try to put all the pieces in the right places and to keep his guys motivated. And I think when it comes to those things, I don't believe Rojas did a bad job here. He was just given a really tough job, and he is the fall guy that is the first casualty of that 2021 season. There's going to be more, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or new car dealership when you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that has been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, then choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How'd you hear about us, Box? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. this is a huge pivotal offseason for the Mets in this current front office with Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen trying to put all the pieces in the right places, trying to find the new president, trying to find the new GM, trying to find who the assistant GMs are going to be, trying to fill out a coaching staff. It's basically a do-over from the failure of last offseason, their first in control of this team. When I try to sit here and evaluate who is the right fit, what should they be looking for, it's tough for me to give you the exact manager that I want to see come in here. Because as I just illustrated in the last segment, I don't necessarily know what a manager does nowadays. I don't know what decisions are theirs. I don't know what decisions are the analytics department. I don't know how you bolster an analytics department that is often nameless and faceless. And if you do bolster that analytics department, are they going to get the credit? No, it's going to come down to a manager. But again, this is where you get into this tricky position where a manager is applauded sometimes for work that's not his, but is also, and more often, criticized for work that's not his. And that's where you get into the real tricky situation of trying to evaluate these guys. When it comes to this organization, though, the one thing I don't want to see is I don't want to see the constant emotional decisions. I talked about this a bit on yesterday's show. You know, with the Wilpons, they would often discard players or managers based on emotions. That's what would happen time and again. Mickey Callaway, 2 years, manages the team. And actually in 2019, if you want to talk about on-field product, the Mets were a pretty good ball club. Not enough winning, fire him. Brody was safe, so we're going to fire the manager. You look before that, 2018, Sandy Alderson falls on his sword for the organization because the team underperforms in 17 and 18 after two straight playoff appearances. Wilpons believe that is coming up short of their standard, and so there goes Alderson, only to be replaced by Brody, and we know how that ended up unfolding. The upheaval is something that is not conducive to building a sustained winner. And over the last 5 years, we've seen nothing but upheaval in all of these positions for the Mets. So where do they go from here? I don't know, but I hope wherever they do go from here, it is for the long term. I hope that if you hire the president hires the manager and the general manager, and all of them are working together for the next 5 to 10 years. Because this constant discussion of what a manager's doing, what a general manager's doing, what a president's doing, it's just not productive. And it's frustrating to have these talks every year. So that's my first thing, is I don't want to see the constant emotional reaction. We didn't win the division this year, so we're firing everybody. To me, it's warranted for this team to clear out the front office because it was such a failure to put the right guys in place last year. But to say that everyone who is part of this team is negligent and not able to perform the duties at hand, it's just not giving guys like Luis Rojas enough credit. Zach Scott as the GM, he has put himself in a bad spot because of the DUI, and that's certainly cause to let him go. I don't necessarily think he's a bad executive. I don't think there's no place for him in a front office. I actually think he's a pretty sharp guy, but is he going to come back to the Mets? I don't know. So again, what's important about the Mets right now is not only making these hires and finding the right people when it comes to what they can bring to your franchise, but also to do your due diligence on the background checks to make sure you're bringing quality people into this organization. That's something that's not nearly talked about enough. And it's why the Mets have gotten into all these issues over the last couple of years, because they haven't done enough due diligence making these hires. And unfortunately, Sandy Alderson has been the biggest culprit of a lack of due diligence, and he's making these decisions again, which is why when you see the Mets aiming high to Billy Beane and Theo Epstein and David Stearns, if they can get one of those guys, at least there's someone else making decisions. And that's what it's going to continue to come back to for me as we go through the offseason. It's all about that search. That's the only hire that makes sense. That's the only hire that I care about. I don't care about the manager. I don't care about the hitting coach. I don't care about the pitching coach. Yeah, I'm going to talk about a couple of managers who I wouldn't mind seeing the Mets hire in the next segment here, because there's some names that have been floated that I do believe would be good fits. and some that should excite Mets fans. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for the start of another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, there's now even more odds, props, and contests available at betonline.ag, which continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus with the promo code NFL100. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. From football, basketball, baseball to boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So there are two names when it comes to the Mets search for a manager that intrigue me that I want to discuss. Number one, it's the dream robbery of the Athletic scenario where you get Billy Beane and Bob Melvin. Bob Melvin, longtime manager, clearly good at what he does. The A's are always competitive, always in the playoff hunt. I'll take him any day of the week. And if they can find any manager of that stature who has a ton of experience, who's not going to make any blatant blunders in game, who knows how to connect with the modern player, I'm all in on it. I really am. The manager I'd watch out though for is Carlos Beltran. That's what I'd watch out to see here. Steve Cohen is a Mets fan. He loves him some Carlos Beltran. He was happy when the Mets hired Beltran the first time, was a little bit upset that they let him go as quickly as they did. Beltran still out there searching for that opportunity to manage. At least we believe he is still interested. That's a name that is very interesting to me. And I just wonder who that next president is, and would that next president be as interested in Beltran as Steve Cohen would probably be. And also I wonder how much Steve Cohen's opinion is factoring into these decisions. I know that he has said that he's going to let baseball people make baseball decisions. And I really do hope that he is going to live by that initial claim. But at the same time, this is a guy who makes a lot of decisions for himself and has been extremely successful. The more comfortable he gets in this industry, the more comfortable he's going to be, you know, putting his input out there and following through on his own input on decisions and making decisions that he feels are right. And I think hiring Carlos Beltran is certainly something that he would consider. He is all in on these big name executives because they're names that he knows. He knows who Theo Epstein is. He saw him as a fan go out, beat the Yankees in 04, deliver a World Series to Boston. He saw what he did with Chicago. He's a massive name. He's interested in Billy Beane, a massive name. David Stearns, someone who has some ties to New York and has been considered one of the best executives in the sport. I don't think that's going to be any different for the managerial search. It's going to be a name. I really think it's going to be someone flashy. I don't think he's just going to go to Houston and get Joe Espada, who is basically their version of Rojas, and hire an up-and-coming manager. I don't think they're going to go that route. I think it's going to be someone who has either some experience or has a massive name like Carlos Beltran. And that can work, but I don't think that's the end-all be-all. Again, I don't believe that it's Rojas' fault that the Mets were in this position. I honestly think if the Mets gave Rojas a 3-year contract extension after this year, fans would be up in arms about it now. And if the front office was put in place correctly and they made the right decisions and they got this roster in a little bit better shape, if they built out the depth, if they really did find a way to accent their star players like Jacob DeGrom, Francisco Lindor, and Pete Alonso, and they put together a good ball club, the Mets could win 98 games next year, win the NL East. Rojas could be in the consideration for manager of the year, and the same fans who are calling for his head now or called for his head are going to be or would have been applauding him as this great homegrown manager. It's all fugazi. It's all just a bunch of playing the results and seeing what sticks. Again, I bring up Gabe Kapler. Laughing stock in Philly, manager of the year in San Francisco. What is the bigger difference between the two teams he managed over? Is it his managerial style and he worked on himself and he figured out the strategy and now he knows what's best? And that's why with the Giants, he figured it all out. Or is it because in Philly, he had, I don't even remember that dude's name, the GM they had that was out after like 2 years. I remember he looked very young. Matt something? I don't know. I'm not a Phillies expert here, so don't blame me on that one. But I would think that the front office that he managed under maybe has a pretty big impact on why Gabe Kapler could be successful, as he's out there with Farinzadi, who's one of the best baseball minds out there, who has helped turn that roster over and also accent what was left on that roster and has made the Giants a great team in very short order. I think that's probably why Gabe Kapler has suddenly become a great manager, not because he changed the way he talked to players in the clubhouse or how he implemented analytics. I don't think any of that is the case. You need someone who understands analytics, and Rojas was one of those people. You need someone who can communicate to players, and Rojas did just that. So I think Rojas was just as capable as anyone to take over this job. But I also think at times a new voice can't help. So hopefully the Mets get all these hires right. They get the right president in here who hires. And again, I will say that's important. I do like that continuity from the top down, where the president is the one that hires the GM. The president and the GM together hire the manager. I do like that chain of command. And when it comes to the Mets, they've been out of order the last couple of years. You had Callaway hired by the previous GM, and then a new GM came in and retained him. Then what happened from there? Callaway's fired, a new manager's brought in, hired under the current GM and Brody, who is let go the following year, and then Rojas once again outstayed the previous GM as the new GM came in with Porter, then Scott and Alderson and all that conglomeration, and now they're starting again from scratch, which is good. Started all over from scratch. Again, I'm not against the decision to let go of Rojas because of that. I still think it's good to start from the beginning, hire from the top down. But what I hope is whoever they hire to be the president, whoever they hire to be the GM, whoever they hire to be the manager, again, I hope all these people are, one, good people, two, are given the reign to build something, and they're allowed at least 3 years, three seasons, to get this thing right, and there's not another conversation next year on Locked On Mets and all these other media platforms where we're talking about who could be the next manager of the Mets, because I'm sick of this conversation. And honestly, until they hire another manager, until the hiring process picks up, that is all we're going to talk about, the next manager of the Mets, because this is a tired conversation and I'm done having it. So that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, why don't you check out the Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.